but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. Before I begin today, I like to announce something today. If Brother Ron and Sister Rebecca will come up here this morning facing you guys today. And I want to share with you today that it has been quite a while since we've had a youth director here at our church. And now that we are having more youth coming into the church and more young people, believe it or not, we've got more young people coming into the church now than we do little kids. And it used to be the other way around. But now we're bringing in some more youth. And so I have appointed, and I will be doing more appointments as time goes on, but I've appointed Brother Ron and Brother Sister Rebecca Jeffers to be our youth directors here at Victory Fellowship. I want you to give them a round of applause. And this is a new thing for them. And so I had talked with them a while back about taking this position. And they said they would be willing to do that. And so I will be praying for them. I want y'all to be praying for them as well. They're going to be reaching out to the youth here at this church. So parents, expect a phone call that these two here will try to reach out to you and to your children. And so that we can develop a strong bond of love here at Victory Fellowship. There is going to be some fun times for the youth. We now have the Connect Center where the youth can now come together. They'll be doing great things. We have a basketball court behind the Connect Center. We have volleyball. We're going to have a lot of different activities that will be going on even through this year. So we're expecting great and mighty things, even in the youth department here. And so I want to go ahead and let you guys know what we're trying to do, because we're growing here at the church and we want to reach out to our young people. We want them to be a part. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to have a safe haven where they can come and enjoy with their friends and bring their friends and have a great time. And so, we're excited. I'm excited. And this used to be my field back many, many years ago. Before I became senior pastor at this church, I was the youth director. Me and my wife were many, many years ago. And so I started out doing youth work. And so I am all for the youth. I'm all for young people. And I am all for that. And I'm all in. And so, again, I want you to continue to keep your church in prayer and continue to let others know that we have a youth department. And if you go on our website to www.vfclexington.org, you can see that as well as we continue to do our youth ministry. And so there'll be other things that's coming along, but I want to go ahead and announce that today. And God bless you today as well. Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Brother Ron. And again, let's give them a round of applause. We thank them as they are moving mightily here at our church. And we thank the Lord today because they're growing as others are growing in the Lord. And so it's all about doing kingdom work, folks. It's all about reaching out to reach those that need to be reached. And so they're also going to be asking for help and volunteers. So they'll be talking with you on that and help them as far as assisting them as well. So we do thank the Lord today. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms 126 and 6. And we're going to go ahead and announce this today. I start a brand new series. It is called To the Ends of the Earth. To the Ends of the Earth. And the title of my message today is this: is God's Great Plan to Reach the World. God's Great Plan to Reach the World. Today you may feel like that you are insignificant in reaching the world. Maybe you feel like, well, Lord, there's a big world out there. What can I do? What can I be a part of? You are part of the world, and you are part of reaching people that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there was ever a time that we need to reach the world, right now is the time for us to reach the world. We are in the last days of the last days. And I want you to know the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I don't know if you saw this week that there was an earthquake in New York City at 4.8 on the Richter scale. And also another earthquake that came into New Jersey, which was 4.0, an after effects. So I want you to know we are living in the signs of the times. And Jesus clearly lets us know we've got an eclipse that's coming tomorrow. That is another signs of the time. And so I want you to know that it is our job, our obligation as Christians, because we are soldiers. When we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, we became soldiers of the cross. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself. Don't take up his cross. He's already bared the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And we are needing to be fishers of men. We're needing to follow out what God has instructed us in the Word of God. And through this series that I'm going to be sharing with you, God's great plan to reach the world, we must reach the world, and that world is the world which you're living in right now. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your loved ones that you have. You are to reach them with the gospel. You are to let them know this is your last chance. This is the last destination, is to leave this life and make heaven your home. And so I want to equip you through this series and show you in the Word of God how that we need to plan and how we need to take our families with us to heaven. You can't take fame and fortune, but there's one thing you can take. You can take your family. And it is good when families can come together. It's good even when families are in church together. Because listen, families, it's something about the nucleus of the family. It's something about the family, being with the family of God and having your family in church. And if you don't have your family in church, even those that are watching live today, I encourage you to come to a church or go to a church, a Bible-believing church, because we can't forsake the assemblings of ourselves for such a manner as this. We need to know that God is on the scene, soon at hand, and we must be ready for His return. So let's look at this. To the ends of the earth, series sermon number one, God's great plan to reach the world. Let's look at this in Psalms 126 and 6. We had a video, and it had actually slipped my mind that we were to show this in my sermon series. So, but if you'll go with me here to Psalms 126 and 6, the Bible says from the Old Testament, from the psalmist, he writes, and he says, "He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let me read that again. Psalms 126 and 6. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You may say, Pastor, what is sheaves? Let me give you a definition. And we're going to go into this. The definition of sheaves is one of the bundles in which cereal plants as wheat and rye are bound after reaping. In other words, they're wrapped and bound and gathered. The Apostle Paul said this seed is Christ. As we see in Galatians 3 and 16, the sheaves are symbolic of the harvest. I want you to know today that the harvest is ready. It is ready. It is ripe. It is ready for us to begin to work on. But yet there are laborers that are few. There's not a lot of laborers out there, but the harvest is white. It is ready to be taken in. So we as Christians, if we've asked Jesus into our heart and lives, we are Christians, we are disciples, we are servants. Now we are to work on doing the great commission that God has instructed us to do. It was not a suggestion. It was not, well, if you think about it, no, that is the great commission that Jesus lets us know, and we're going to see that closely here as we go into God's Word. Jesus instructed his disciples to evangelize their world. Today, we are to evangelize our world. It is not for us to know Jesus Christ and keep the salvation quiet and say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. But it's for us to share the gospel, share the good news, let people know that Jesus is coming back and there is a Savior. He is born. He arose on the third day. He's sitting with the right hand of the Father. As we've gone through Easter, as we see all that has unfolded, and now it is us as a Christian, we are to throw a lifeline out to those that need to know Jesus Christ because of the coming of the Lord. I want you to see this. Jesus has instructed us to go and teach all nations. Let's look at this. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18. Go with me there. We're in the New Testament now. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18. 28 and 18. Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. This is Jesus speaking here, letting his disciples know. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven. The authority has been given me into heaven and on earth. So if you've ever second-guessed yourself, if Jesus got the authority with heaven and earth, yes, he does. He has the authority of this whole world. That's why we are to reach the whole world. We're to reach to the end of the earth. And he goes on and says, go. He didn't say walk. He didn't say go slow. He didn't say think about going. He didn't say, when you feel like it, if it crosses your mind, he says, go, therefore, meaning action, the word go, action, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. As you go, as you baptize, as you let them know about Jesus Christ, you're to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. It's not a suggestion. He has now told us as believers. He's told us as Christians. And lo, here he goes, I am with you always. Why? Because he has authority in heaven, he has authority on earth, and he says, and I, lo, am with you always, even to the end of the age. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. Jesus will not pass away. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that He's with us because He has authority, and therefore He's giving us the authority. Now, it's been relinquished to us. Now we can go with boldness and to know that when we're out seeing friends and loved ones, we can share with them a good word and let them know that Jesus is alive and well, and that if you don't know Jesus, I've got somebody I want to share with you. I want to share Jesus with you. Go ye into all the world. What world? Your world. Your world. What is your world? Your world is on your job. Your world is when you go to Walmart. Your world is when you go to the gas station. Your world is when you're visiting other friends. That is your world. We are to go into our world that we're in and day out, that if we have the opportunity, that we share the good news, we share the love of Jesus Christ to those we come in contact with. I'm not asking you, Jesus is not asking you to be a Bible thumper. He is not to say that you to walk around with a big 10x10 Bible underneath your arms and you're hitting and knocking people and saying, if you don't get right, you're going to die and go to hell. He's not going at that approach. What He is saying is that the love of God that is in you, live out the testimony that God has saved you, that God has delivered you, that God has brought you out of what you were in, which was down in old miry clay, but He became the potter. He began to form you. He began to fashion you. He began to show you and apply the things that you need in your life. Therefore, you're to share and live out the character of Christ so that you can share it with others and say, listen, this is what Jesus did for me. The same Jesus that did this for me is the same Jesus that can do it for you. The church has largely forgotten its mission. Listen, churches, even in America, has forgotten the mission. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is to go out and to share the good news, to bring those in. Listen, the Great Commission is not to just come into a church and go back out of a church. It's not for the church to entertain us while we sit on the pews. It's not for all the things that are going on. Yeah, those are fine and that's part of worship, but that's not everything. What is at stake is our soul. Your soul is at stake. It needs to be saved. It needs to know that it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should you leave today, you must know that you are right and ready, because the coming of the Lord is at hand, and God is wanting us to get right and to get ready. And the signs of the time, folks, hallelujah, the signs of the time is all around us. It is all around us. And Jesus says, when you see these things, understand I am at bay. I am close to you, to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, giving our attention to lesser things, meaning that we're running the corporation, raising money, building buildings, doing other things, and neglecting the Great Commission. God is not wanting us to neglect the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go and share the good news with others. Yet there's few that go. Therefore, there's a little church growth that takes place. Maybe the reason why there's little church growth is maybe we're not doing what God has instructed us to do, is to share the gospel and share the love of God with wherever we go. Most church growth results from trading sheep. What do you mean, Pastor? Church growth a lot of times comes from other churches. sad to say, but there's other ministers that will get up and say, well, I'd love for you to come to my church. Why don't you leave your church and come to my church so I can build my church up and let my church be big? Folks, that's the wrong thing. That is the wrong thing. We're not to build a catalyst of other churches to make our church bigger. That is not what God intended it to be. God intended for us to be the servant and the disciple and to do our part and to reach those that need to be reached because they're dying and they're needing the Lord Jesus Christ. People are snorting up, they're shooting up, they're boozing up and thinking they can get away with their problems, but it comes back the next day. They need to be saved. They need to be delivered. They need to be healed. They need to know that there's a God that can deliver them and bring them and set them free. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We must get back to God's plan to reach the world. We are not to forget the great commission that Christ has commissioned us to do. My first point today is this. The first part of God's plan is going. Is going. He that goeth forth. It is easier to do almost anything else in the church. It's easier to serve on a board. It's easier to give money to send others. It's easier to nitpick and grumble about what's going on in the church. It's easier to be a part of the faction than to get into the action. When a church begins to go, it begins to grow. Let me say it again. When a church begins to go, that's when you see growth and development to take place in your own church, when you're doing what God has commanded us to do. Romans 9:1 says this. The Apostle Paul, he writes and says this, I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. These are tears of the heart, seeing the lost as God sees them. And we need to be of an urgency of a church that is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to our walk day by day. That if we find the opportunity to encourage somebody, if we find the opportunity to let them know what Jesus has been doing in your life, if we find the opportunity of giving that encouragement, that is what we are called to do. Let me go a step further. God has called us to be an ambassador for Him. That ambassador word, ambassador, means to be representation. That you represent Jesus Christ. You know, there's sometimes when you are talking to somebody and they'll say, well, what church do you go to? And they say, well, I go to Victory Fellowship Church. I'm sorry, what did you say? I go to Victory Fellowship Church. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I go to Victory Fellowship Church. And we will hide what church we go to. Folks, we need to be bold as a lion. Be bold in your faith. Everybody else is bold about everything else. Why can't we be bold in our faith? Why can't we be bold in Jesus Christ? Let people know about your church. Let them know that you go into a Bible-believing church, that your pastor preaches the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. He doesn't cut it, slice it, dice it, but He brings the truth to us. That's what people needs to hear. That's what people needs to know, that the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ comes by the Word, in the Word, and through the Word to set people free. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, anybody can be entertained. I can buy a ticket and go get entertained. I can go see a group and be entertained. I can see a lot of things and be entertained. But it is our job, my job, and my obligation to share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and let people know, even if it hurts their feelings, let them know that Jesus is a loving God, but also Jesus is a just God. My first point today is this, is the first part of God's plan is going. The second part of God's plan is weeping. How long has it been since we've cried about our local church? How long has it been where you've prayed for one another in your local church? How that you lift one another up in prayer? You know, there's not a day that doesn't go by each day that your pastor is praying for you, calling out your name, praying for you, those that are dealing with things, those that are struggling with things, those that are going through some things. Listen, that's what we need to be doing, is the bond of love is to pray with one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Listen, time is slipping. And it's going right into the future. And time just keeps on ticking. Keeps on ticking. That was a secular song back many, many years ago. I think the Miller Band, some group. I can't remember the group. Anyway, that was a song talking about time keeps on slipping into the future. And we're losing time because time is of the essence. We have no time to play around, folks. We have no time to hem-haul around. Our job and obligation is that we are to be about our Father's business and reaching the world, reaching your world. You know why? Because the signs of the times are here. If it wasn't the signs of the time, I'd say, well, let's hold back a little bit. But no, we can't hold back. There's no need for us to hold back. We can't afford to hold back. We've got to go full force because the signs of the time are here right now. You could have been born in the 30s, lived in the 30s. You could have lived in the 40s and the 50s. But you're living in the 21st century for such a time as this. God has brought you into the world to minister and to be a servant and to be a disciple and share the good news in the last day. Days, and that's these days. Listen, most do not go because they don't care. It's sad but true. We live in a society now that a lot doesn't go. They don't share the gospel because they don't care. They think, well, I'm saved, I'm ready, I'm satisfied, I'm good, I'm going to heaven. And get that mindset that you don't need to talk to anybody. Shame on you. No, God says clearly for us to go. What if you stood before the Lord and we all will stand before the Lord and the Lord says, well, you didn't go. Why should I let you in my heavens? Why should I let you in heaven? You didn't share the gospel. You didn't share anything when you had an opportunity. What if God was the God to do that? You see, God has clearly called all of us, including your pastor, to go. Listen, go forth, weeping. Here's another thing. Genuine concern for souls is needed. Paul's broken heart for souls, when he clearly says in Romans 9:1, I tell you the truth, I am not lying. My conscience also is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh. These are tears of the heart of the lost as God sees them. Third, not only were to weep, but third, there's a part of the plan in sowing. We must sow. Bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. The seed is the Word of God. Folks, we've got to have the Word on our hearts. We've got to have the Word of God on our minds. Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Jesus and the parable of the sower, as we see this in Matthew 13 and 3. Some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell on stony ground. Some seed fell among the thorns. Some seed fell on good soil and brought forth fruit. How we can sow the good seed is we sow by speaking to others about Christ. Sowing. We sow by living constant and being that content in Christ so that we can live out the Christian life day by day on a consistent basis. We sow by using gospel tracts or other literature, things like the bread, our bread, our different devotions, different things that we can give people to let people know and to be encouraged. We need to be in the mindset that we are missionaries. We are missionaries. Listen, I have been in third world countries. I've been done mission work. But you don't have to go to a third world country to do mission work. Your place right here in the United States of America is needing a mission work right now. And when you leave out of these doors today and as you go into the world today, that is the greatest mission that you're commissioned to do is the United States. Your world needs to be ministered to wherever you go. The fourth part of God's plan is reaping. When we begin to sow, when we begin to be consistent in our Christian lives and serving Him, when we're consistent, then guess what? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. In other words, the sheaves we will collect. You will collect. Listen, we must make efforts to reap, to win people to Christ. Don't leave soul winning to others. Let me say it again. Don't leave soul winning to others. Get on the blessing. Receive the blessing. It is a blessing. It is a blessing when you can share the gospel with someone and you lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I have done it many times. Oh, how my heart rejoices when I lead somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When they make that profession of faith, when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life, they have a new life, a brand new life. Oh, the Bible says all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. It's brand new, and you reap what you sow. When you sow good things, you reap good things. When you sow bad things, you reap bad things. God clearly wants us to reap good things and that we can rejoice as those in heaven, as the angels rejoice when one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to shout. They begin to jump. They begin to holler. I'm sure they begin to do a lot of different things, but they're excited when one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave soul winning to others. Your mission in life on this earth is not to get more cars, not to get more houses, not to get more money, not to get more fame, not to get more fortune, not to get everything. Your goal in life, all that's great, all that's good. I'm not knocking any of it. That's great, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is that we get somebody saved, that we lead somebody to the Lord, that we show them and direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that their soul would be saved from a place called hell and that they would make heaven their home by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Listen. Let's return back to the basics of the Christian message. Let us not forget the basics of what we're here for, why we're here, and what we're to do. Let's get back to winning souls. Winning souls brings the presence of rejoicing even in the future joy. As Luke 15 and 10 says this, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Stand with me across the building today. You may look at me today and you may say, "Pastor, that's a lot of work. I thought that's what we pay you to do. I thought that's what we ask you to do. We ask you to do all that, and we just sit back and watch growth happen." Listen, the pastor can't grow the church. There is no pastor in the world that can grow a church. And it was, listen, let me go a step further. It was never designed, hear me today, it was never designed for a pastor to be the Lone Ranger. It was never for the pastor to be a one-man band. He cannot do everything because a pastor is limited. But here, let me go a step further. This is why it was not designed for the pastor to do it all, because Jesus called disciples. He didn't call a pastor. He called disciples, and those disciples are to reach other disciples and make disciples, to make servants, so that each one would reach one, and then that's where the growth and the development takes place. When we do our part, that's when God does His part. Some will plant, some will water, but God gives the increase. You can't increase it. I can't increase it, but God can. When He sees that we can go and when we can share, that's when God begins to grow the church and the church comes together as a body of Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen. Every one of us are part of the body. One can't say, "I don't need the foot, I don't need the hand, I don't need this, I don't need the fingers." We need everything. It takes everything to make up the body of Christ, to do the work that Christ has called us to do. Listen, if Jesus Christ bled and died on a cross and died for you, the least that you and I can do is to give back and say, "Lord, I surrender. I surrender, Lord. Let me do my part. Let me be the servant that I need to be, Lord. Let me have the mindset now, Lord, that I want to reach other people. I want them to know about Jesus. I want to let people know about Jesus, because time is at hand and time is getting shorter. It's slipping away. I never dreamed that I would be at the age that I am right now. I never dreamed it. I was reminiscing back many, many years ago when I got married right in this church here when I was 25 years old. Now, can you imagine that? And now I've just turned 57. But at 25 years old, me and my wife, we stood before the pastor at that time to get married. I never thought in a million years that I'd ever be the pastor of this church. I never thought in a million years I'd ever be in the ministry. Never crossed my mind. It never crossed Tracy's mind, my wife's mind. But as time began to evolve and things began to take place, God already knew when I was at 25, standing at this altar to accept Tracy as my wife, He knew then, one day, there'll be the pastor and the pastor's wife of this church. I never thought of it. I never dreamed it. You see, we never know what the future lies ahead. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know where we will be in the next 10 years. We don't know where we'll be even in the next 5 years. You don't know what God is doing in your life right now to get you prepared in the next few years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. You don't know. But if we be willing and obedient, The Bible says that God will take care of us. We'll eat the good of the land, and God will prosper us and bring us exactly where we need to be. But we just need to be willing vessels. We need to surrender to His Lordship and say, Lord, take charge. Take control. For Lord, I can't see my future. You can't see your future. You've seen your past. We all have a past. And the past might be good, it might be bad. But we all have a past, but we don't know what the future is in store for us. But what